Hey, we are tickled as can be to welcome to Minnesota Reads not just your average author, but the poet laureate of Wisconsin, Kimberly Blaser. Kimberly, good morning. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Your most recent book of poetry is called Apprenticed to Justice, and I was able to find a copy of that poem and ask you if you would share part of it with us, because it's really very powerful. And we'll talk a little bit more about your work, your poetry, where the title came from in just a moment. But I really want to start by setting it up for folks, by letting them hear what your poetry sounds like. Would you read a little of that for us?
Sure. And this section that you've asked for is midway in the poem. And this is a poem, I'm sorry, you wanted, some will never laugh as easily, will hide knives, silver as fish in their boots, hoard names as if they could be stolen as easily as land, will paper their walls with maps and broken promises, scar their flesh with this badge heavy as ashes. And this is a poem for those apprenticed from birth. In the womb of your mother nation, heartbeats sound like drums, drums like thunder, thunder like 12,000 walking, then 10,000, then 8, walking away from stolen homes, from burned out camps, from relatives fallen as they walked, then crawled, then fell.
Just got chills. Apprentice to Justice is the name of this poem, and it's the name of the collection. Tell us a little bit about the title.
So I feel like we are all apprenticed to many things in our lives. We're apprenticed to place, to story, to history, and if we're lucky, we're apprenticed to justice. That is that as we go through our lives, we learn more about how to be in the world. And one of the ways that we should be is be an active person trying to work for equality and justice across the world.
What did it mean to you as a Native American woman to be named the Wisconsin Poet Laureate? Frequently, The Wisconsin Poet Laureate is a European American. Frequently the Midwest Poets Laureate, I should say, not just Wisconsin, but the Midwest Poet Laureates, are frequently European Americans.
Sure. It's interesting, though, that I'm the second Wisconsin Poet Laureate who is Indigenous. And not only that, I'm the second Anishinaabe Poet Laureate of Wisconsin. The first was Denise Sweet. So I think that the literature of the Midwest is widely influenced by Native literature, that there are many wonderful Native writers within this area, and so it seems sort of natural that our work should also come into the mix of what is Midwestern literature.
Right now, as we're watching Native people, we're watching Native people at this time in history trying to communicate something. And unfortunately, as is so often the case, they've been pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and are now trying to communicate something. Sometimes anger spills over. They need to protest. And of course, the dominant culture is frequently less than receptive to that. What do you think can be accomplished through poetry in terms of communicating feelings, communicating ideas to the majority culture?
Well, I often say, I quote Audre Lorde, that poetry is not a luxury. And that it has work to do in the world. I talk about poetry as both affective and effective, so beautiful as language, but doing something in the world. And I also think of poetry as a way of seeing and re-seeing. So in other words, calling the reader, listener's attention to something and helping them to see it again in a new way. And so obviously, if we're thinking about political issues, environmental issues, that taking a second look at what we thought we understood, or looking closely at what it means to put a pipeline through Standing Rock is significant. And obviously, people around the world are taking another look at fossil fuels and our future. So I think that poetry can help us as we reevaluate, re-see, rethink the things around us. And it's also works as gesture. So it can ask questions. So I say poetry is question and gesture. It can ask questions, and it can gesture towards things in the world, towards ideas, without necessarily speaking them bluntly. So I think sometimes, and then also, just yesterday, I taught in my class humor and the disobedient poem, but how to use humor as another tool in what we might think of as poetry of witness. So it doesn't all have to be hammered at you. It can also be presented lightly and playfully, which sometimes allows an easier entrance into people's thought process. So I think poetry has a role to play in many ways.
Kimberly, have you written anything about or for Standing Rock?
I have.
Do you have anything handy that you'd care to share with us?
Sure, happy to do that. This is a poem that actually has a place for the audience to participate. So there's the line, "I stand with Standing Rock," that has been used all over Facebook. And so you'll hear that in here. And when I do perform this, the audience performs it with me. Sacred Stone Camp. 140 years after Little Bighorn, after gold-hungry prospectors trespassed onto Lakota land in violation of the Treaty of Fort Laramie, new oil-hungry corporations threaten to repeat that history, repeat the violation of tribal sovereignty, repeat brutality toward Native people, repeat disregard for the valor of Earth, the sacredness of the resources of this planet, the waters that give us life. When our waters are threatened, I stand with Standing Rock. When tribal treaties are disregarded, I stand with Standing Rock. When sacred sites are desecrated, I stand with Standing Rock. When armed militia mace peaceful protesters, I stand with Standing Rock. Moving oil makes money. Spilled oil contaminates water. When 783 million people do not have access to clean water, when 3,300 ruptures or leaks of crude oil and liquefied natural gas have occurred on U.S. pipelines in the last 6 years, we do not need another precarious pipeline. The Lakota people will not become rich from oil passing through their land. The Missouri River is their wealth. In the Dakota Plains, the people of Standing Rock do not need the prophesied black snake slithering false promises of energy independence. The ageless force of prairie winds is power. If the Dakota Access Pipeline is too dangerous for the populations of Bismarck, it is too dangerous for the native people of Standing Rock. When we are not equal under the law, I stand with Standing Rock. When the gate price of oil bankrupts our future, I stand with Standing Rock. When the fossil fuel agenda bulldozes dissent, I stand with Standing Rock. When indigenous nations come together for water, I stand with Standing Rock, when indigenous nations gather to sing, dance, and pray, we don't need rubber bullets shot point blank. We don't need cavalry history repeated. As peaceful protests by water protectors happen, we don't need attack dogs. We don't need faces maced. We don't need women locked in cages. We need energy justice. We need a leader who says stop, a judicial system that says stop. Stop illegal digging. Stop penalizing the poor. Stop ignoring climate change. Stop fracking. Stop desecrating sacred sites. Stop endangering our waters. When indigenous nations, from the Sami to the Sirayaku, have sent delegations to Sacred Stone Camp to stand with indigenous water protectors, where do you stand? I stand with Standing Rock. When indigenous people are 4% of the population, but stand as protectors for more than 80% of the world's biodiversity, where do you stand? I stand with Standing Rock.
Dr. Kimberly Blaser, our guest this morning, the Wisconsin Poet Laureate. Kim, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.